Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, the 21st of January, 2008, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, that international sensation, Dr. Dick. That would be me. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by the good folks at EdenFantasies.com. A one-stop place to shop for all those erotic playthings you've been drooling over. Of course, you'll find a full line of top-quality toys, fetish gear, and sexy lingerie, but that's not what makes Eden Fantasies so damn special, don't you know? What makes them so extraordinary is they have a social conscience, and that, my friends, makes all the difference in the world to a sex-positive guy like me. The Eden Fantasy site is chock full of tips for the conscientious consumer. They have practical user guides, toy reviews, and even a community blog. In fact, you'll find everything you need to make intelligent choices before you make your purchases. Look for a link to this amazing site right there on the front page of DrDicksSexAdvice.com. I have a really delectable show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show.
Hi, Dr. Dick. My name's Amy. I'm 23, and I'm writing from Salt Lake City, Utah. Calling, listen to me. I have this weird thing that when I masturbate with a vibrator, I can't seem to bring myself to an orgasm, and it feels really good and everything, but I like get almost there. But I can't quite come. Does that make sense? And I don't know. It's been a while since I last, had a guy. I digress. But I was just wondering if you had any advice or if I'm doing it wrong or I just need some help. Thanks a lot.
Hold on there, lassie. Are you telling me that you can jill off just fine using your hand, but when you kickstart your vibrator to apply it to your naughty bits, you can't come? Is that what you're telling the good doctor? Or maybe I simply don't have enough information to make that assumption. Maybe you're not masturbating to orgasm at all, by hand or by gadget. Since you're not here to fill me in, so to speak, the best way to handle this is with a scattergun approach. If you're unable to jill off to completion by any means, manual or mechanical, you may be pre-orgasmic. I've written a lot about this already, so there's no need for me to repeat myself. All you have to do is check out the category section on DrDicksSexAdvice.com and look for female masturbation. You'll find loads of swell information about this very topic. If, perchance, you can masturbate just fine with your hand, but the rub, no pun intended, comes when you introduce a vibrator, then that's a horse of another color. In this instance, I'll need more information before I can be much help. Like, I'd like to know what kind of vibe you're using. Is it one of them all-purpose wand type? A dildo kind of thingy that you insert in your pussy? Is it a rabbit, a G-spot vibe? A bullet or egg-shaped vibrator? Are you doing any direct clitoral stimulation? If you can make yourself come through manual stimulation, how different a sensation is the vibrator? Is it possible that you need more vroom? Is it too intense? Could it be that you are concentrating too much on making a big O to actually let it happen? You know, chicks get performance anxiety, too. It's not just a guy thing anymore. Listen, my friend Susan, she asked me to ask you about the position you are in while you're jilling off. She said she had the damnedest time throwing herself her first screaming Mimi, even with a vibrator, until she discovered that getting into a squatting position with her back against the wall did the trick. Stands to reason, orgasms are all about building sexual and muscle tension. Susan found that squatting tensed her hamstrings, quadriceps, glutes, and even her PC muscle. This tension was just the thing to deliver the goods. Susan did add, however, that getting out of a squat position after the event was really tricky. She said that in the end, she had to topple over with a thud, and I had to laugh when she told me this because I couldn't help but seeing in my mind's eye Susan, and she's a big girl, don't you know, all breathless and topsy-turvy on the floor with a big old shit-eaten grin on her face after finally delivering herself from the land of the pre-orgasmic. One final thing. I've often heard women speak of the high success rate of jilling off to orgasm in the bath. Again, this stands a reason, too. Here you are, all relaxed, warm and cozy, and all wet and squishy. Add a little jet of warm water or a waterproof vibe, and you'll be having an orgasm as easy as falling off a log. Or so I'm told. Just remember, baths and plug-in electrical kind of vibes definitely don't mix. A miscalculation here, and you'll find your ass in the suite hereafter. Listen, Amy, why don't you call back sometime with either more information or to report a success? I'd love to hear from you. Keep in mind that one day soon, you will be able to add your masturbation stories, pictures, and vids even, to an upcoming Dr. Dick Sex Advice community forum where you will join a slew of other women providing resources for other women as well as the menfolk who desperately need to know how to do this sort of thing. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Use it, just like Amy. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Dan. He's 48, and he writes from Montreal. I'm a late 40s-year-old man who has lived numerous sexual experiences in the past, until I met just in the beginning of this past year a wonderful, interesting woman with all the qualities and values that I needed. We started our first sexual experience a few months ago, April. The result was quite a disaster. I wasn't able to do any penetration on her. She insisted that she has a blockage, and that I had no idea about the blockage and wanted to leave her place. Now, I tried to understand her, but her problem has two factors that I have never come across with a woman. One is that if I fucked her, she would get vaginitis. She doesn't have any reaction when I fuck her. However, the scenario with her is the usual. She would get into her closet, wear something very daring and sexy, and give me a nice blowjob and swallow. I would usually experience just straight penetration in the position in my past experience with other women, but would this mean that the sexy clothes are asking me if I would come in her mouth, compensated for her inability to have my penis in her vagina? She asked me that I would have to eat her pussy often so she could feel something. The last time I did, I was eating her pussy for 2 hours with a break in between until she came. Yikes. My question is, can I take this any longer? And what is the connection with her vaginitis? Well, Dan, I don't know if you can take it any longer or not. What's clear to me is that things are pretty damn grim. Not just for you, but for your lovely lady friend. Your story is a little difficult to follow. I'm going to guess that English is not your first language, right? But here's what I think you're trying to say. You are a sexually experienced man in his 40s. You've recently met an interesting woman that you like very much. Unfortunately, the sex sucks, and not in a good way. Your friend experiences pain while fucking, but you don't know why. She says there's a blockage and tells you that intercourse will only lead to vaginitis, which we all know is an inflammation of the vaginal mucosa and often is associated with irritation or an infection. While this is a pretty common problem, it should not be an every fucking time kind of problem, if you catch my drift. However, this little lady is happy to give you a Hummer to make up for all of this. And just to show you that there's no hard feelings, she'll even swallow your spunk. Well, she's a trooper for sure. Unfortunately, avoiding the fucking issue won't solve the mystery of why fucking is a real pain in the pussy. The two most likely reasons for this painful fucking are, number one, the woman is not aroused enough before the fucking begins, or two, she has a physical condition that may make fucking painful even if she is aroused. Well, it's easy enough to eliminate the second option. All your woman friend has to do is pay her gynecologist a little visit and have her doc take a quick look around. If there is indeed a blockage, as she thinks there might be, the gynecologist will discover that in short order and end the debate. That being said, I'd be willing to bet that in your friend's situation, the first reason is more likely the culprit. This is often the case with preorgasmic women, and your friend sounds like she might well fall into that category. If your woman friend has lived all her adult life without having an orgasm, she will sure enough be conditioned not to expect one anytime soon, either through fucking or by having you eat her out, even for hours. And hey, you're a trooper for doing that too, darling. I'd be willing to speculate that she's not particularly informed about her own sexual response cycle. Thus, she's unable to provide you much direction on how to pleasure her without discomfort. A woman, particularly a preorgasmic one, must come to full arousal before her partner attempts penetration. A man, on the other hand, needs only to have a stiff dick. This obviously makes us guys more ready and eager for the old in and out long before our female partners are ready and eager for the same thing. If you are guilty of this, and there's a good chance that you are because you're a man, your woman friend's body will resist you even if she desires to make a go of it. Your woman should start getting over this by being well informed about her own sexual response cycle. If she doesn't know what turns her crank, she can't expect you to know what to do, even with all of your experience. Once she figures out how her body works, and this information will come best through masturbation, she'll then be able to instruct you on the subtleties and points of interest of her particular pussy. Touch, of course, is very important to most women, especially in the arousal stage of things. Often women will want to be touched and caressed all over, not just in those sexually charged points of her body like her tits and clit. She ought to take you on a little touch tour of her body. Literally, she could take you by the hand and touch herself with your fingers. She should show you the kind of touch she likes in the places she likes to be touched. You guys will need to take your time at this. I can pretty much guarantee you won't get the hang of this your first time out. With her help, you're going to be able to see her arousal build. She could encourage you to use your lips and mouth as well as your hands. If she's not fully aroused, her pussy will be dry. But even if she's wet, you ought to use a nice personal lubricant to make her even more slippery and to facilitate penetration. Listen, I cannot overstate the necessity of lots and lots of lube. If you guys follow these simple steps, you will have greater success with your fucking. Your woman friend will experience great pleasure, and she will, in turn, be a font of great pleasure for you. In the end, your woman friend must take the lead in this. She must know her own body so that she can teach you about it. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. All right, next we hear from John, who's 65, and he writes from Surrey, British Columbia, Canada. Dear Dr. Dick, I'm on Avodart because of my high PSA reading. As a result, my sperm count is now down to zero. I understand it's the drug's side effect, but is it reversible? I haven't totally lost interest in sex, and I still jerk off from time to time. I realize that I need to make adjustments, i.e., become a total bottom, and to find other body contact pleasures. I'm an attractive Asian and still get lots of attention in the Vancouver baths. Another reoccurring menopausal problem I have are hot flashes when sleeping. How long do I have to put up with this? Love your website. Say, is Richard Wagner your real name? Happy New Year, Dr. Dick. Yours, John. Hey, thanks for your kind words, John. Yes, Richard Wagner is my real name. To understand your question about the side effects of Avodart, I need to ask you a question. Are you sure you're talking about sperm count? Avodart is a prostate-directed medication for men with high PSA or prostate-specific antigen readings. It has nothing to do with your testicles, which produce your sperm. And how would you know about your sperm count in the first place? I think you may be speaking about the diminished amount of spooge, or ejaculate, that you produce while on the drug. This would make much more sense than a depleted sperm count, although sperm is, of course, included in spooge. Because your prostate is responsible, in part, for the amount of jizz you produce. And since the drug shrinks your prostate, it's completely understandable that less cum would be an unfortunate side effect of taking the drug. Is it reversible? I suppose if you stop taking the drug, your prostate might regain some of its previous vigor, but I wouldn't hold my breath on it becoming like when you were a kid. Your age may have a lot to do with this, but I'll get to that in a minute. You probably are also experiencing erection problems on this drug too, right? Some of that is age-related, of course, but one of the most unpleasant side effects of this or any other medication that targets one's prostate is the loss of libido and wood. A nice cock ring might be helpful. Have you tried one of these little buggers? They also look really nice in the bathhouse, don't you know? You also ask about another reoccurring menopausal problem, hot flashes. Well, allow me to help you with some of your vocabulary. Menopause is a female thing. Andropause is the male equivalent. But like menopause, andropause is a result of a decrease in hormone levels, testosterone and androgen in our case, as we age. Yeah, hot flashes are sure enough a good sign that one is in the throes of andropause. They often disappear on their own, but some people advocate hormone replacement therapy for us older dudes. This is very controversial, however. Many in the medical industry believe that hormone replacement, particularly testosterone, increases the risk of prostate cancer. Personally, I don't believe this is true. I am unaware of any studies that actually make that correlation. On the other hand, living with diminished hormone levels clearly has some very unpleasant side effects like the ones that you are experiencing. In the final analysis, each of us needs to make up his own mind about this, weighing all the pros and cons. Good luck. Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Why not write it down? 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from L.D., who's a male, 38, writes from Atlanta. How do you jump back into the game when your partner passed away suddenly? Getting really horny, but it's still awkward to actually do it. Good question, LD. You say you're feeling awkward. Why exactly? Is it because you're out of practice with the whole dating thing? Are you concerned that people might think you're jumping the gun, trying to get back into the game before your partner is cold in the grave? People can be pretty damn heartless about that stuff. Or is your awkwardness associated with your grief? Grief has a profound effect on every aspect of our lives, yet there is hardly any literature on the effects grief has on our sexuality. To my mind, grief is the leading cause of sexual dysfunction for those who have experienced a death of a partner. Allow me a bit of time here for one of my pet spiels. Healing and helping professions often misdiagnose grief. I want to make one thing really clear. Grief is not depression, and treating grief with an antidepressant is very counterproductive. It can actually take away the impetus to resolve the grief and get on with the rest of one's life. Making sure that you have processed your grief may eliminate some of your awkwardness. This is something I'm pretty familiar with. A good portion of my private practice is with sick and dying people and their friends and family who survived them. I know the impact a terminal illness and dying process can have on a surviving spouse or partner. We often go into survival mode, shutting down so much of ourselves in an effort to have the strength to cope with life's altering experience. Of course, trying to kickstart our life afterwards is often a monumental effort. Without the support and guidance of a professional or group of similarly challenged people, some of us just sink to the lowest common denominator. I believe in the resilience of the human spirit. I believe that we can honor our dead and continue to live and love. It sounds to me like you have a desire to get on with your life, LD, to fill that void, to make new connections, but you simply don't know how. Acknowledging the fact is a real good place to begin. Perhaps you could start by reawakening your sexuality through self-pleasuring, reconnecting with your body and the joy it can bring you. Reestablishing a social life will no doubt follow, slowly at first, but the inevitable tug of the need for human-to-human contact will draw you if you let it. Remember, the best testament to those who have died is to continue to celebrate life itself. Good luck. Finally, another sexual enrichment tutorial. Today, the big tease. How to strip for someone special. Most people miss out on the pleasure of undressing with and for their partners. Stripping out of or being stripped out of our daily wear and into something sexy or nothing at all is one of life's big turn-ons. It's also a visual signal that we're shifting out of our workaday world and entering the realm of sensuality. Stripping is an art form, you know. In fact, we all could learn a lesson or two from the folks who do this for a living. Few of us are natural-born exhibitionists. The majority of us don't know squat about how to slink out of our clothes without looking completely ridiculous. Like they say in the business, real strippers are born, not made. Okay, so most of us aren't naturals, and I include myself in this group. But that doesn't mean we can't pick up a few of the finer points of this ancient art form and apply them to our own situation. First and foremost, we're going to have to leave as many of our inhibitions and body issues as possible at the door. If you're so self-critical as to think that you'll be absurd even if you try, you might as well drop the whole friggin' thing right here. But if you're into having a little fun, even if it's at your own expense, then step right up, because we're going to make you a star. Probably, if you plan on stripping for someone you know well, like your partner, you probably already know a lot about what turns him or her on. You know, like those little sexual picadillos we all have. Fishnet stockings, a G-string, high heels, a white jock, leather chaps, armbands, and a cowboy hat, a Catholic school girl, plaid skirt, anklets, and Mary Janes, you know, things like that. These things will be the building blocks of your outfit. Remember, you'll be stripping down to something before there's nothing left to remove, so consider your theme and then layer from there. Each successive layer removed should reveal an even more tantalizing layer underneath. Don't wear something that's going to be a bitch to take off, and have enough layers on to keep the show interesting. Next, consider the venue for your show. Since there's going to be a whole lot of dancing around, you'll want a space to be big enough so you don't have to cramp your style. At the same time, you'll want the environment to be warm and intimate. Set the mood with proper lighting, and your venue must include some kind of sound system, even if it's a portable boombox. Either arrange your space so that your audience is seated in the middle of your performance area so that you can slink and shimmy around him or her, or consider a little homemade stage with curtains so that you can use it as part of your performance. Now, think about props. A chair or a stool a la cabaret works like nobody's business. You'll want something to taunt your audience with. A seductive hat, a feather boa, a riding crop, gloves, opera length, or leather. There are even collapsible dancer poles available online nowadays for that touch of authenticity. Keep your venue simple. You're the star, not the space. Mood lighting is absolutely essential. It'll make or break your show. The next consideration is the music. This is a really important element to a successful show. A miscalculation here will fuck up the whole routine. Go the distance and compile a few different tempos on a tape or CD. Arrange your music so that it will automatically flow from one tempo or song to the next. Move from a faster disco tempo at the beginning of the show to get you and your audience's blood pumping, then a slower tempo soul or rhythm and blues number for getting down to business. Don't choose something too slow or maudlin. It'll destroy the sexy mood and destroy the interest of your audience. Your music selection should drip with sex. Don't interrupt your show to change the tape or CD. To add an air of authenticity, adhere to strict strip club rules. Your audience is not allowed to touch you, and you are prohibited from directly touching your audience. Keep your communication nonverbal. Your audience must remain seated throughout. These rules will enhance the tease effect. If you want to heighten this effect, consider restraining your audience with a little erotic bondage. A silk handkerchief or a satin scarf works to secure his or her hands and feet. Or you could always pull out all the plugs and get yourself some swell bondage gear online. I'm thinking some leather restraints and cuffs will do the trick. The striptease is to entice, so be naughty as well as nice. You control the show and the audience. When you're ready to begin the show, start your music and seductively move or dance toward your audience. Let him or her have a good look at you and your outfit, front and back. Approach your audience, then gyrate in front of him or her. Be sure to include some deep bending front and back. Let your audience get a load of the goods. Get as close to your audience as possible without actually touching. Close enough for him or her to smell you, or for you to swipe him or her with something you're wearing. This is where a nice boa or leather flogger will come in handy. Continue to tease and taunt and keep moving. Squat or use one of your props to lean against or partially sit on, and seductively open your legs or show your ass. Keep your hands busy on your body, stroking yourself, reaching into your outfit to fondle yourself. Hey, and feel free to touch your audience, but never with your hands, only with your props. Completely dominate your audience with visuals. Please, through tease. After this initial dance, move away from your audience and start the main show, the strip. When you shuck each article of clothing, don't just remove it. Tease with it. Toss each discarded article to your audience or drag it over him or her. Being unable to touch you will enhance his or her sense of smell. Use this to your advantage. Wipe your clothing on your body before tossing it to your audience. The more intimate articles, bra, stockings, underwear, jock, or what have you, could be wrapped around his or her head and face. Strip slowly and erotically. Reveal only an inch or two of skin at a time. If you're about to reveal something on your front, turn your back on your audience first. If you're going to reveal your ass, start by facing your audience, then seductively turn around. Build on the anticipation. Make your audience want more. Stay in rhythm with your music. Then, once you're completely naked, approach your audience and present yourself in all your glory. You should be deliciously sweaty and aroused by now. Using one of your props, a dildo perhaps, wipe your breast or your crotch and bring it close to your audience's face. Try a lap dance or pull his face into your crotch or breasts. Get on all fours and seductively loosen his or her clothing. Your audience will still be bound to his or her chair so you can have your way with him or her. While on the floor, use your feet to stroke his or her crotch. Turn up the heat by masturbating for your audience. Tease or lick your audience tits, fingers, or her pussy, or diddle his cock. As your show concludes, untie your partner and lead him to a full-on fuck. Good luck. Yikes! Look at the time. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. Eden Fantasies makes shopping fun and easy, but there's so much more. You can stay on top of what's new and receive heads up on special deals and limited promotions by signing up for their monthly newsletter. Listen up, you guys. Eden Fantasies offers you a unique opportunity to educate yourself about all the swell adult products out there as you shop. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they're even more focused on customer service and consumer education. Their site has an online community of dozens of product reviewers and renowned sexperts, including yours truly, Dr. Dick. In fact, I'm happy to announce that my handy-dandy guide to penis pumps for men, and those who put up with us, is now available online at EdenFantasies.com. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit them online today. Sex toys and props are just a click away. And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.